going to talk about recent work with Sarah Day, Majid Alili, and Konstantin Mishaykov at Georgia Tech on a computer-assisted method for the analysis of an infinite dimensional map. So, what's the example we are considering here? It's a growth dispersal model for the growth and the dispersal of plants, and it's given by this expression here. So what you should think of is that for every point in the interval minus pi to pi, or the unit interval if you like, you have a copy of the logistic map where the capacity of the environment varies spatially. So C is the capacity. And after growing, the plants will disperse in the environment according to this dispersal kernel B here. So this is an infinite dimensional map, and we set it up in that way such that we can reduce it to a countable system, so take a Fourier basis in L2, and so such that we get this countable system of maps here, where the A's, B's, and C's are just the Fourier coefficients of the corresponding functions up here. And now, the goal is to get some rigorous statements about the global dynamics of this map. So how do we do that? Well, what you usually do is when you have an infinite dimensional system, you somehow reduce it to a finite dimensional one, right? So if you look at some finite dimensional subspace of L2 generated by the first m basis functions, for example, then typically what you consider is just the projected map, where you consider a finite number of modes. Now, the problem is, of course, if you want to deduce rigorous statements about the dynamics of the original map F, what is the relation between the dynamics of F and this finite dimensional approximation? Now, observe that you can write F in this form here. Yes? So you're looking at the first M, or you're projecting your point in phase space onto the first M coordinates, and then you can write this in this form. Now, if you can bound this term back here in such a way that for some on some compact set Z in phase space, you get this error here. You get this error bound. Well, then basically, you have reduced your system to a finite dimensional one plus some known error. So what you basically get is a multivalued map. You get a multivalued map mapping some point in this finite dimensional space W into or finite compact subset of your finite dimensional approximation into some set, right? And what you require is that this multi-valued map F, capital F, captures the dynamics of the original map F in this sense, okay? So roughly speaking, what you need is that for all possible tails of the variable A, so the tail will be all variables which are not included in the first n modes, you capture all possible dynamics of F via this multivalued map F. So once you derive this, you will apply the usual technology on analyzing this map. So you compute invariant sets of this map. You approximate some certain invariant objects like periodic orbits, connecting orbits, chain recurrent set, or whatever. And using the Conley index theory, you can then prove that you really capture a certain dynamics. And finally, after having analyzed your multivalued map F, you have to lift back the information on the finite dimensional system to the original infinite dimensional system. This will also be done by the Conley index theory. So let me say some words about the approach, about the Conley index theory in particular. What is the trajectory of a multivalued map? Well, this is a sequence of points such that the next point of the sequence will be contained in the image set of the current point. And a set is called invariant if for every point in the set there exists a full trajectory in that set S. The maximal invariant set of within some subset S is the set of those points for which there is actually a trajectory, and an isolating neighborhood is a compact subset such that the maximum invariant set is contained and of this set is contained in its interior. So that's the setup. And these isolating neighborhoods are the basic object of interest in the theory. They're robust with respect to perturbations. Once you compute an isolating neighborhood, it will be an isolating neighborhood for every small perturbation of your original system. So this is a robust object you can compute. And how do you do this in practice? How do you actually put this into the computer? Well, what you do is you partition your phase space, or maybe only part of it, using boxes in our case, so some partition of the phase space, and your multivalued map, capital F, will then induce a multivalued map F on the covering via this approach here. So you just map a box to a set of boxes, where the image set is given by all those boxes which are intersected by the image of the multivalued map F. Now, implemented is this in a binary tree data structure, and you can represent your combinatorial multivalued map on the partition as a sparse matrix, which is basically the same as if you would represent it as a graph. Now, the same terminology applies now to the combinatorial object F on the partition. You have the notion of trajectory, invariant set, maximum invariant set, and you also have the notion of an isolating neighborhood. It's slightly different here. So what you do is you look for some set S, subset of the boxes. You look at the smallest representable neighborhood. So this is just the collection of all those boxes which have a non-empty intersection with your set S, and you call a subset I of the boxes a combinatorial isolating neighborhood if this smallest representable neighborhood of the maximal invariant set is contained in the invariant set. So you take this your set I, you compute the maximal invariant set inside, and then you enlarge it by some by one layer, if you like, but one box layer, and this enlarged invariant set has to be contained in your original collection. So it's basically the same notion. It's just translated into the context of this box setting. Now, and the nice thing now is that if you find an isolating neighborhood for your combinatorial map F on the boxes, then the corresponding set in phase space is actually an isolating neighborhood for your original multivalued map. Yes? Okay, so you can compute isolating neighborhoods for this multivalued map F just by looking at this combinatorial map F. And as we will see, this is easy to compute. Now, some words about the Conley index. What you need in order to prove some statements about the dynamics is the so-called index pair. What is this? Well, maybe just look at the picture. Suppose you have a saddle point 2D of some map diffeomorphism in 2D, and you have the setting of sets. So the green set is your set N1. The red set are these two sides here. This is the set N0 called the exit set. Now, if you map the green set forward, it will hopefully stay within I, so this is your isolating neighborhood, or you require it to stay in there. Both of these sets are forward invariant, right? So if you intersect the image of N0 with I, then it will still be contained in N0. Oh, maybe not. So maybe the picture is not good. Anyway, the most important thing is that the invariant set now, in this context, stays in the interior of the green minus the red set. And now, in order to compute the Conley index, you need to compute these index pairs and some algebraic topological object on that. And there's a nice theorem by Chinchek which says that you can very easily compute an index pair for your combinatorial map F once you computed an isolating neighborhood. And this is the corresponding index pair will just be given by your invariant set plus the image of the invariant set. And the exit set is then just N1 minus the invariant set. So this is a straight formula for constructing the index pair once you computed an isolating neighborhood. So this is the main point now. How do you compute this isolating neighborhood? Okay, so how do we do that? The first step is to get a guess. Right? So suppose you want to compute an isolating neighborhood for some periodic orbit. Well, one approach is to look at the transition matrix of your system. So the transition matrix is nothing else basically than your multivalued map, your combinatorial multivalued map script F, where you just put where you just put ones and zeros in that matrix whenever there's a transition from box J into box I, right? And now it's an easy observation that you can get guesses for k periodic points of your map by looking at the diagonal entries diagonal entries of the kth power of this transition matrix, right? You can obtain guesses for other kinds of invariant sets by looking in a different way at the transition matrix. Basically, as I said already, this is also nothing else than a directed graph, where you consider the boxes as the nodes of your graph, and whenever there's a one in the ijth entry, then there's an edge between the jth and the ith box, directed edge. So you get guesses for recurrent sets of your map by computing strongly connected components of this graph. You get guesses for connecting orbits by computing paths in this graph, in particular by computing shortest paths. As I said, these can be stored explicitly on your computer. Now, once we have this guess, of course, this is not enough because we want to have a rigorous statement about the dynamics. So we have to turn this guess into a true isolating neighborhood, and this is done via the following procedure. So this is your initial guess here. This is a sequence of boxes connecting a box corresponding to a non-zero diagonal entry of the first power of the transition matrix, so corresponding to a fixed point. And these boxes correspond to a path between a fixed point and a period 2 point here. Now, what do you do in order to compute an isolating neighborhood? Well, you enlarge this collection here into this collection and compute the maximal invariant set within that collection of boxes, and this invariant set is given by the yellow boxes. So the red boxes do not, the two red boxes here are not part of the invariant set. Now, the original criterion for computing isolating neighborhoods in that combinatorial setting was that you have to have a neighborhood, a box neighborhood of your invariant set, which is contained in your set I. So what you need at the end is that all your yellow colored boxes are surrounded by red colored boxes, then you know that the whole collection in that picture is an isolating neighborhood. Okay, so this is a very simple algorithm to do that. And just some words about the computation of your multi-valued map app. Basically, what you are given is in the original system, your single-valued map F plus this error epsilon, which you computed by bounding the difference between your infinite-dimensional system and the system applied to a finite-dimensional or a projected point. So this is the error you make by considering the finite-dimensional system, and now you want to rigorously compute this multi-valued map F, and what you basically do is very simply you decompose it into the linear part and the nonlinear part. You estimate the nonlinear part, and then you know that all points eventually will be contained in a box around the image of the center point, and with that radius here. So this is maybe not important, but you can compute these the corresponding combinatorial object very efficiently too. Remember that we stored our collection in a hierarchical data structure. We used this binary tree to represent sets of boxes, and now the problem is that we just computed a box containing the image of C, right? This was the based on the estimate of the nonlinearity plus the error we made by neglecting the infinite tail of our map. Now, in that collection of boxes, now we have to find all those boxes which are intersected by this box, right? This was defined to be the image of a box under the combinatorial multi-valued map. Now, here's an algorithm. It's a depth-first search of our tree, so it's extremely efficient. And I should note that all the computations, of course, are implemented using interval arithmetic based on these packages, bias profile, and bias 4M. Maybe I should also say that the whole approach is implemented in the software package Gaio, which we developed at Paderborn, which also can be obtained from me. Okay, so what do we have? We had the infinite system. We reduced it to a finite dimensional system, which was multi-valued because we need to capture the errors that we made by neglecting the higher order modes. Then we analyzed this finite dimensional multi-valued map by defining a combinatorial map, a combinatorial multi-valued map on the box covering, right? So every box got mapped to a set of boxes. Now, in that combinatorial map, we found some objects of interest. So we computed isolating neighborhoods of periodic points, of connecting orbits, of recurrent sets. In particular, for example, you can compute an isolating neighborhood of a horseshoe by considering a heteroclinic cycle between two periodic points, right? So for this combinatorial map, we had the invariant sets of interest, and we had the result that you immediately get an isolating neighborhood for the original multi-valued, finite-dimensional multi-valued map just by considering the corresponding points in phase space, so the isolating neighborhood in the box space directly translates back into the phase space. And now the remaining problem is how do we deduce from this information on the finite dimensional multi-valued map that you have some then how do we deduce information on the infinite dimensional map, on the original infinite dimensional map? And this is simply done via the Conley index theory. So In our case, compact set of interests that we were considering was of this form, so we just have a product of intervals. And what we computed so far is this isolating neighborhood for the multivalued finite dimensional map. Now, there's a simple theorem. If this is an isolating neighborhood for your finite dimensional multivalued map, and if you have that all the remaining components of the infinite dimensional map, so K runs from M to infinity, if this image doesn't intersect the remaining interval boundaries, then you can easily construct an isolating neighborhood for your infinite dimensional map. So this will be an isolating neighborhood for the infinite dimensional map. And in particular, you immediately get an index pair for your infinite dimensional map, and one can show that it actually has the same Conley index. So from the corresponding theorems on the Conley using the Conley index theory, you can deduce that you have the same types of dynamics for your infinite dimensional map. Okay, some example computations. We chose some parameters in order to get an idea of how to choose these intervals I was just mentioning. So you know, the question is, how do we get an idea of how big this set should be? We run a simulation. So this is the first three modes. You get some bounds on the intervals, and then you compute a covering of the chain recurrent set. Oops. So this is the covering, the projection of the chain recurrent set onto the first three modes for your finite dimensional multivalued map. Then you guess these invariant sets. So this is a guess for a fixed point. These are guesses for period 2 points. In particular, they have the fixed point in here too. And this is a guess for a connecting orbit between the fixed point and the period 2 point. And now you enlarge this. I mean, you get a formula for the nonlinear for the nonlinearity here. You can estimate the error you make, and then you run this algorithm which constructs an isolating neighborhood. So this is the isolating neighborhood for your connecting orbit. And then you apply the, compute the corresponding Conley index. In that case, you get this result here, and this is the induced map on homology. And what you can deduce from this map is actually that you have a fixed point here. So this is a non-zero diagonal entry. Right, so you have a fixed point. You know that you have. This is a proof, right? This you have a fixed point in your infinite dimensional map, and you can also have a look at. I think it's the second maps to the eighth, and the eighth maps to the second box generator. So you also directly see that you have a period 2 point here, and as you follow those ones and minus ones here in that matrix, you can also easily see that you get a connecting orbit. So what we just proved is the following theorem. The map phi possesses a heteroclinic orbit connecting a fixed point to a period 2 point such that the coordinates of these points and the connecting orbit are contained in this set. I mean, don't look at the formula. It's just to see that we cannot only prove that fixed point exists, the period 2 point exists, the connecting orbit exists, but we also get very nice and tight bounds on where these objects are located. And to conclude, I would like to show off this example. This is the same parameter choice, and what we did here is we started off with a guess for the period, for the fixed point, for the period 2 point, and then we computed a guess for a connecting orbit from the fixed point to the period 2 point, and back another guess, another connecting orbit back to the fixed point. So we have a heteroclinic cycle as the initial guess, and running the algorithm for constructing the isolating neighborhood and the corresponding index pair, we get this here. So the red is the exit set in that case. And by computing the homology and the induced map on homology, and by looking at the spectrum of that linear map now, you just prove that you have chaotic dynamics in that map. Okay, thanks very much.